Welcome to another episode of the Deep in the Know podcast. Cambria, I've rescheduled on you a time or two, and I appreciate your patience. You're awesome. Welcome, Cambria Smith.
Thanks so much, Bennett, for having me. I'm excited to be here, and you can reschedule as much as you want. So it's all good.
It's been a little crazy, but I'm excited for this. I'm excited because our background, you married one of my best friends, and now we're pretty much neighbors. And we see each other at the gym all the time. And I got to experience from the sidelines, you starting your own entrepreneurship journey. So if you could start a little bit about your background, what were you doing before State Farm? And what are you doing now? And how the hell is it going?
Yeah. Like, what did I do before State Farm? Nothing. I worked odd jobs here and there, but always knew that I wanted to be an entrepreneur, which I think a lot of entrepreneurs know, right? Kind of just in their soul that it's what they're called for. And I did the entrepreneurship program at Brigham Young University and just was like, okay, well, school's dumb. I'm going to get out as fast as possible. So I did that in 2 years and then tried to figure out what it was I was going to do. I didn't have any brand new ideas, which is what they teach you, is like, you got to have a brand new idea, but that's not always the case. And then kind of stumbled into working for a State Farm agent out in Newport Beach in California and just fell in love with getting to help people and saw that the opportunity was just super awesome and decided to open my own here in Utah. So, yeah.
I mean, so you weren't planning on insurance, kind of stumbled into your job. And then how do you go from an employee to owning your own office?
It's like a diving board. You just take the jump. I don't know. I'm not planning on insurance at all. Just worked in it and just like watched several different entrepreneurs that owned State Farm agencies just run it and watched the lifestyle that they got to live and saw what they were doing, realized I was doing all of the work for them and was like, oh, okay, that means I could probably do it. And so then I just took the leap into it. And I don't know, is that how it worked for you too?
Yes. Yeah. You never plan it. For sure. How did the opportunity even come though? I mean, not all State Farm employees get the chance to own their own practice. How did that opportunity present itself to you?
Yeah. That's like the power of just like letting people know what you want. So when I was interviewing with State Farm agents, I went in because my dad is a State Farm agent. My grandma and grandpa were both State Farm agents all in LA. And so I was like, hey, I'm coming in to see if this is what I want. And so they knew from the beginning, like, this is what she might want. And so they trained me in a way where it was like, hey, her ultimate end goal is she will be in my spot. And so I just did all the training and then eventually was like, okay, I decided this is what I want. Let's make it happen. And then that agent super selflessly was like, okay, here's all the connections I have. Let's just go for whatever you want that's available. And they post agencies that are available for State Farm. So it's kind of like a job hiring, but you're your own company, your own person, and just applied for one and got it within 5 days. So it was a roller coaster.
How long were you working for State Farm before?
Before I interviewed, I was working there for a year and a half, which is like the minimum that they let you do.
That's not that much time. Very quickly. And anyways, that's a very interesting way to answer it. I like that a lot of coming in, like I knew I was just upfront about what I wanted. And it's also really cool to hear that the person that you worked for was very open, at least from the summer sales world, because everything is commission-based. You're like, you hate when employees or salespeople leave because you're like, no, I trained you in this and that. And then a different mindset shift is, no, that means I did my job if they want to go do their own thing. And
yeah, like I did a really good job.
You get such a good satisfaction. You're no longer receiving pay or an override or commissions, whatever, but you can be like, wow, that person progressed due to some knowledge and skills that I passed on to
them. Yeah, so, no, definitely.
How long ago did you start the State Farm here in Utah?
It was May of 2023. So it's been, 10 months?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy. I'll
jump into the how's it been?
It's been good. I would say because it's different from a lot of entrepreneurship journeys because like you're starting like a brand new company from scratch. You don't have customers. I didn't really have to go through that. It was just kind of like, hey, I get to copy paste what I knew, but now I'm just in charge here. And now I need to grow it like we were growing the one before. So I think the hardest thing has been team, which I don't know if you can relate to, but that's the hardest thing. But otherwise, it was just kind of like rinse and repeat what I've already learned is successful and just pound the pavement.
Like building a team, hiring people.
Mm-hmm. And like training them and getting them where you need them.
I can't do a job interview because I've hired some terrible people and a lot. And I'm just like, if you tell me you're great, I'm going to believe you. I don't need to interview anybody else. Like way too trusting. And and I realized I suck at that. So I let other people do the.
I'll probably need to do the same pretty soon because I'm the same way. I'm like, you seem awesome. Let's go.
So just kidding. Jumping into the State Farm, I know this is a little bit different.
Yeah.
But typically, you know, you're starting out and you're making no money or you're losing money or making very little money.
Yep.
And there's a path to profitability. How was that for you? And then, let's go with that first, and then we'll get into when you started hiring your first employees.
Yeah. I went into this like going like, hey, I'm not going to take money from this business for the first 3 to 5 years was like the mindset that I had. Cause I was like, I'm just going to grind. I'm going to build it like crazy. And you just have to adapt, right? So like that was my original mindset. And then I was struggling with team where it was like, I can't find the right people to fit these right places and realized I didn't have the bandwidth that I needed to be able to manage that many people. At one point, I think I had 6 team members and I was like, I can't manage this many. So I adapt my plan, where it was like, hey, I'm not gonna overinvest so that I can like see crazy, crazy, crazy growth. I'm gonna invest at a steadier rate. And that just like in doing that, I'm gonna step into one of the roles of being a salesperson for the company. And that just made it so like profitability happened like 4 months in.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And then when did you hire the first employee?
Day one. Day -30. Because they give you like you have a start date. So I'm like, okay.
Okay. And did you start with one employee then?
Started with 4. Okay.
And how many are you at right now?
I'm down to I guess I have 4 if you count my husband. I still have 4. Yes.
Okay, so you started with the 4, and then you're like, okay, now let's get up to 5, and then 6, and you're like, okay, it's only been a few months, maybe this is a little too quick.
Yeah.
Scale back. What are the plans going forward?
Plans going forward. This is probably every entrepreneur. I don't feel like I hear talked about a ton, or maybe it's just me. I just like struggle with teams so bad. But my plan going forward is like I just need to solidify the key roles in the business where I have like the right person in place. And then I'm going to go with my original plan of just expanding and expanding the team because it's a game of numbers, which most businesses are, right? Where it's like, hey, if you can just replicate yourself one more time, your return is going to be so much greater. So that's the hope.
The team members, agent, salespeople, or you, is it also kind of admin work?
Yeah, there's 2 roles. One's like customer care where they're answering the phones and doing all that paperwork and stuff. But the hope is that they're also salespeople because you can't in the insurance world and honestly any business, like you can't help people if you're not offering them the products and services that you have. So there's that role. And then there's the sales role where it's like, hey, we're going out and we're just constantly dialing, texting, going to people's businesses, whatever, to get new customers in.
Yeah, a big part of the entrepreneurship side, which is super scary and most of us struggle with, is that outsourcing. Especially when I took a course and they said, as an entrepreneur, your time is valued at $1,000 an hour. So anything worth less than that, you should sub it out. But with a grain of salt.
Yes, yeah.
As I learned that, they're like, okay, I could hire somebody, and then you're hiring people to manage calendars or things like that. And you're like, oh, I can get way more done if I pay somebody else X amount. Because if I'm on a sales call, my closing ratio is X, Y, Z, and I'm making X dollars per hour, so I should just focus on that. And then also, if you can allow your good salespeople to just focus on the sales side and kind of hire that support staff and really let people do what they're the best at, it's a little scary because you have to hire a little bit more people and front a little bit more cash. But if you do kind of the research and know the numbers on the front end, it definitely pays off.
Yeah, no, definitely. And that is something I learned from you, was like, outsource as much as you can, which I did. Like, going into the business, I was like, okay, I'm going to outsource as much as I think is, you know, just not worth my time and my money. And that's what kept me sane for the first year of my business. Otherwise, I think I'd be in a puddle somewhere. So
you started out with 4 employees. Just, hey, I've never ran a business. I'm not just starting. Yep. That's a big leap of faith. And
yeah,
that's on that. I mean, 10 months later, you're still have those. I mean, you probably don't have the same 4 employees, but you're learning.
I have one. One is the same. And that's all you need. You just need one person to believe in you. That's what I've learned. I'm like, if I just have one person that believes in me, that's all. And then we can get it done.
On the last guest that I was just talking about, he was talking about empowering team members and how to do that so he can step out of his business. And one thing, if you haven't looked into it, is doing some sort of, you know, small stock option plan that you give them, you know, 0.5% or 1% equity, but you subject it to vesting. So if they leave within a year, they don't get anything and there's not a loss. But if they stay, they're motivated and empowered. I think that whether it's advisors or employees, for me, it's helped a lot to see people actually kind of get bought in. So
yeah, like really bought in. Yeah, that's awesome.
Something that I didn't do with my first business that I regret was taking the time to define, like, what is success? What is the mission statement? And then when somebody told me I had to do that, I'm like, okay, well, how do you do a company mission statement? He said, no, it's not a company mission statement. It's Bennett's mission statement. And then the company adapts it. And the company is what you utilize to fulfill your mission. So I don't expect that you've already done that, but I'm going to ask, have you take the time to like, hey, this is where I want to be in 3 years or 5 years. This is the mission statement. These are the core values that we stand by. Talk to me about that.
Yeah. I'm like, all of that can end up into one sentence. I have like the one sentence line that we like post on our website and everything about like what our State Farm agency is. But the whole goal going into this was like, hey, I want to be a mom, but I also want to be an entrepreneur. So I want to build something where that's what's possible for me as soon as possible. And so, like my mission statement for my life was like, just create more freedom of time, freedom of money, so that I can spend that time with my children and spend that time in my life and in the things that I love and with the people that I love, and make a difference too, right? So that's where the business comes in, is having that team that's built out where I don't need to be there every day, right? They're there, they're doing it, they're growing it, they're doing, and then we're also operating out of like complete honesty and fairness and just helping customers like change their lives honestly through insurance, which sounds like stupid. You're like, oh, you're gonna change your life through car insurance, like great. Like, no, there's other things where we actually change people's lives, right? So
what caused you to do that? I feel like most entrepreneurs don't do that, especially not the first business. What was I guess the tipping point to like, no, I do need to define this? And also, can you share that one sentence, or did you already share it? Whatever's on the, that you mentioned, is on the website.
Like, I don't know what's on the website. I think it's like empower. I like mimic State Farms, like empower your customers by helping them like protect themselves from the unexpected and achieve their dreams through like insurance, was essentially like the company's mission statement, right? I don't have like a one sentencer for my life.
Well, what you just explained for your life, when did you come up with that? Like, when did you go into the business and say, this is what I'm truly after? I don't have kids yet, but I will someday. And so I'm building towards that. And was there just to make you think that way?
Yeah. I mean, I did it like years before. And I think that's just like product of growing up in a household where my dad was an entrepreneur and like where my grandparents were entrepreneurs. It was just like, hey, this is going to be a buttload of work, right? Like, you're going to just be so tired all the time. So your why has got to be worth it. And they kind of like, they gave me my why throughout my life. Like when I would come back from like a devastating thing that would happen in my life, they would just be like, that's why you got to be self-employed, because you want this. That's what you're telling me. So go be self-employed. So I just had that support system where it was like, yeah, I wouldn't put in all this work if it was just for ego. I don't have a big ego. I don't care. I want to do the work so I can like my life, you know?
So it's also, it's really looking at other people that have kind of been there, done that, and having the humility to accept the advice. Like, okay, I'm going to
try. Yeah, it takes some time.
So 10 months in, if you were, is it easier, harder, funner, not as fun, more stressful? As like, how are you now compared to the expectations 10 months ago?
I think it depends on the type of person you are. I'm very, very impatient, which is why I'm like so young and I own my business and I'm like, okay, we're just going, we're going. So like 10 months in, I'm like, oh man, we're not there yet. Like, dang it. We don't have the team all in place. Like we don't have it all figured out. And so for me, it's like a little bit harder just right now at this moment in time, because it's like, okay, I feel like we're just kind of like grinding in the same steps, which for me is like, oh man, it's been 10 months. It's so annoying. But if you look at an entrepreneur's journey, it's like, okay, it's been less than a year, yeah, and you almost have it figured out. So like, just be okay.
You look at the Amazon and say, oh, he was busting his balls for a decade before it took off.
Yeah.
He's 10 years and I'm only 10 months in.
Exactly. So there's a lot of patience there.
I think it was today, maybe yesterday, but I saw somebody that I follow on social media, Gary Vaynerchuk. You heard of him?
Yeah, I've heard of him, yeah.
Great. And he posts, I think it was on LinkedIn, and it was a picture of the world rotating. And it said, what the world looks like if you don't overthink things or something. And then another identical picture of the world going around, and it said, what the world looks like if you overthink everything. And it's like, either way, the world's moving on with that. Like, you...
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you overthink it or not. It's not worth overthinking it. And I think that's what makes us entrepreneurs, though, because we want it done yesterday and we want it done now. And it's difficult to cope with that. But the more it goes on, you're like, okay, it's coming. I don't need it today. I don't need it tomorrow. Maybe I can wait a month or a year.
Or five.
Or five, yeah.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah, I always think I'm going to be dead in like 6 months or something, because I can't wait 6 months.
Yeah.
You can't implement this new cookie in 6 months. What are you talking about? And then just before you know it, it goes by and you're like, okay, I should have just been a little
bit. Yeah, so I guess 6 months is not that big of a deal. Yeah, no, I love it. About like, hey, like, where would you have been if you just started the last time you thought about this thing? Like, if you just started, you know, 3 months ago when you thought about this thing,
yeah,
where would you be now? And it's like, oh yeah, okay. I just got to start and then it'll all be fine.
100% agree with that. There's a book called The 10X Rule that I read forever ago. I don't know. But he talks about everything that you think in business, the capital that you need, the time it's going to take, the amount of employees, you should 10X it. If you think, you know, it's going to take $100, you should plan on spending $1,000. How do you feel like that relates to your journey so far? I mean, is it holding true? Yeah. Maybe not 10X, but like, is everything harder and takes longer than what you initially thought?
No, but yes, they're like the hard things do take longer than initially thought, but then the things that I thought were going to be hard are actually the easy things. So like selling, like finding new customers, for some reason I was like, coming from California to here, I was like, oh, it's a different customer base. Like I'm going to struggle. I don't struggle with that. Like it's the same idea. Like I know what I'm doing and I know how to help customers, and my team does too. Right. So that's not hard. I just really thought like, okay, people are going to want this job. People are going to want to work with my company and they're going to want to work so hard every day like I did. And it's like, no, they don't really want to work. They don't really need money. They're not hungry. And so that one, I feel like I have had to 10X, where it's like, okay, you just need to like overhire to find the right people and like keep interviewing and just keep like pounding the pavement to find the people who are actually hungry here. So that one, yeah.
Okay. The advice I got was, because I made a hire and legitimately he was terrible, and we gave him a lot of money, a few $100,000 later, zero sales. We just axed the whole program. And And I'm like, I called references, and this guy, this advisor said, no, you can't call their references, you dummy, because they're going to give you the best references. You have to go find them on social media, find mutual connections, and then ask those people. And I think that is definitely pretty good advice, especially if you're over trusting. Go for it. I'm going to trust everything you say. And since then, I have done that. And then I also don't like doing it because I'm like, no, I want to hire this person. I don't want to find something bad about them.
I want to know. Yeah.
You should find it something bad before you hire them than after. But I think that was a good piece of hiring advice. So,
no, definitely.
What does success in your, is it an office? Is it a practice? Is it a branch? Fast forwarding 5 years from now, or 3 years, whenever you want, what does this success look like? And for your
students? I mean, it can look like a lot of different things to different agents. Like, there are agents that are going for like the top 0.01% in the country of all insurance agents, right? Like, that you can go that hardcore if you want to. For me, that doesn't fit the mission statement that I have for my life. So I'll get caught up in that, where I'm like, oh, I'm going to be President's Club is what they call it. And $1 million round table, and like all these awards and recognitions that you can get, which does mean that you make a lot of money. But like, realistically for me, I was like, no, my mission was to be able to have kids and run a business. And I want to do that sooner rather than later. So 5 years from now, what that looks like for me is like, hey, we have the core key players of the team in place. We are hitting Chairman Circle, which is a recognition that State Farm has, essentially your top 10% of all State Farm agents nationwide, right? I don't want to be not exceptional. I want to be exceptional, right? And then, like, it's running, and I'm there, you know, 4 or 5 hours a day, and we're making, you know, after I pay everything, it's $500,000 that I want to be taking home. And that's completely, completely doable in 5 years.
And the way that you answered it, it's pretty apparent that you've thought about this. You know, you're not just, you've taken the time to think about that plan, which is awesome. Another question for you that I feel, anyways, we'll cut that out.
Okay, like, you're fine. It's all good.
I want to add this question, because I asked it the last time, I thought it was a good one. If you had all the money in the world, you already hit that goal. You're at $500,000 working 4 or 5 hours a day, whatever. What would your day look like?
Yeah, I mean, I probably, like, my dream, I'm so bad at waking up early. For all entrepreneurs that are like, I'm 5 a.m. club, I'm like, good for you, I'm not. My dream would be that I like wake up early and go in the office and do those hours early, and then I come home and I'm with my kids, I'm taking care of my body, I'm with my community, right? I'm with family, friends, doing things in the community to make a difference outside of just State Farm.
Here's a follow-up question that I'm making up as well.
That's great.
Do you have to hit $500,000 in passive income or business income before you do that?
No, that's what I'm realizing is like, okay, I can actually do that now. Cause like how you can structure your own business is like, the world's your oyster. You get to decide. You just have a little bit less profit if you're hiring more people, or you just need to know your numbers enough to know like what they need to be selling in order for you to not, like, you know, take home less money. And so I'm like, okay, I can really just sit down with what that looks like for me, and then I can start doing this tomorrow, you know.
Yep.
You don't really have to wait.
Yeah, and I think that is a great attitude to have. We do typically think we have to have $1 million, whatever, and then promise, and everybody will promise you the same thing. It's not. So it's like, figure out what the ideal life looks like, and can you start living 10% of it tomorrow, 20% of it tomorrow, rather than kind of an all or nothing approach.
Yeah,
I think is super healthy. So you mentioned you have kind of your mission statement on your website, but you also have your personal mission statement. This is just something to think about. Take it for what it's worth. It's probably worth nothing.
Oh yeah.
But if you can figure out how to combine those, and you have such a great personality, and that encompasses your business, right?
Yeah.
And like, I really like the, I bought insurance from you. And if
I know, thank you.
If I went to your website and I saw your statement of, I want to create, you know, help people and whatever, but so I can spend the most time with my family, I'm more likely to support that. Even if it's on your, even if you're telling me on your business website that your goal is to work less, I'm more likely to support that as a person. I don't know if other people are, imagine it is. But the more you can bring your personality into it, which you do such a good job with social media, by the way.
Thank you.
I would just consider integrating that in, like, on the actual website. Like, this is Cambridge Smith. This is what I want to do. I think that, at least for me, my journey was when I was open and sharing that more, and like, I'm actually going to work less than most entrepreneurs and spend more time with my family. And I was open about it. It seemed to attract a lot of people that either wanted to support me in that or want something similar themselves, which I thought was like, well, nobody wants to buy something from me if I'm telling them that I'm not
working
1,000 hours a week. But the opposite is true. So just something to
think about. No, that's definitely true. And I've gone around talking, because there are like 800 State Farm agents just here in Utah and Salt Lake, right? Like, and so I've gone around talking to a bunch of them. The number one person in our sales territory is a 76-year-old man. And he is just killing it. He takes home multi-million a year from State Farm. And his whole thing was just like, I tell customers how I make money. I tell them I make money when you buy insurance, and I make money every time that you renew insurance. And then I get to go enjoy my life with my wife. And I thought that was so cool, because it's like, you're just really straightforward with every customer. You're like, I make money this way. Do you want to be a part of it? So definitely.
People just, especially in the sales, you know, we always have this negative stereotype of sales. Use car salesman, he's just gonna sell me snake oil and lie to me to get the sell. And when you come in and you give those hard truths, where kind of novice salespeople are like, oh, I would never tell somebody I'm commissioned. I told everybody else commissioned only when I did the door sales. Like, I'm not getting paid unless I do a good job, just so you know. I can't bullshit you.
Yeah.
Like, your solar is gonna be installed in a month. And you can cancel at any time with no repercussions. So I'm not going to lie to you. And people would be like, oh, wow, thank you for telling me. Like, that's that over honesty, I felt, really helped build trust. And it sounds like this is working for that 76-year-old guy, just going hard.
Yeah, no, it's working for him just fine. And yeah, I think it takes away that weird, like facade that people have for salespeople, where it's like, oh, sales is evil. And then if you're just like upfront and honest, it's like, no, this isn't evil. This is literally how good, hardworking people make their living.
What is the legacy that you want to leave behind? How do you want to be?
Yeah. You emailed that over, and I've thought about this a ton. I don't have like a good like way that I want to be remembered, but I think it's just like, hey, at the end of the life, like, my kids and my grandkids and my great grandkids, they all look at me and they're like, Cambria is the one that made me believe, like, in myself and in my dreams. And like, I would hope the same for like my friends too, right? Where it's like, Cambria was there and she believed in me. She's the one that helped me think it was possible. Okay. And that's kind of all I can sum it up with. But yeah, I don't know. What about you?
Very, very unique. What about me?
Yeah.
I'm the one answering that.
I know. I'm like, you haven't really answered any questions today.
I'm down to the mission statement. And that's, again, that other question, what would you be doing if you had all the money in the world? I had to ask myself that. And I had to tell myself that almost daily. So I just want to effing sell this sucker and stop. Like, stop the stress and everything. And then I think, well, what would I do? And it really comes down to, well, I would be fulfilling my mission statement, helping as many people find joy and fulfillment despite life's dirtiness right now. And then how would I do that? I would be focusing on mindset and mental health, which, again, I'm already doing that, and promoting people promoting entrepreneurship by giving them, you know, a lower barrier of entry. I'm like, oh, I'm already doing it. And that's the only thing that keeps me going. But
that's awesome.
That's how I would want to be remembered by. Did I ease as much as human suffering as possible by providing more joy and fulfillment? And I'm more and more gearing away towards finances and success on finances, and more towards philosophy. On how to help people, just looking at like suicide rates. More money is not making people happier. So I hear this all the time too, like, oh, I want to make a bajillion dollars, because and then I'm going to go help people. how are you going to help? I'm going to buy him clothes. I'm going to support this person. I'm going to buy him a new car. I'm going to give him food. And it's like, well, show me where that's making like a real big difference. Like, I don't know. I went to Kenya and I am here, and Kenya, the suicide rates in Kenya are a third of here. But yet everybody in America wants to make all this money so you could turn a Kenyan's life into American's life. It's like, I don't know. That's why I like this podcast so much, and focusing more on the mindset and the philosophy. It's not about what you have. It's about your emotions and defining what you want emotionally. Like, I want to feel this way, and then backtracking it, rather than I just want more money because I think that more money, I'm going to have a better house. And if I have a better house, then I can invite more friends over and they're going to respect me more. But it's like, well, no, you just want to feel respected. Do you really?
Yeah, that's all you really want.
5 years to have all this money, to have a house just to be respected, or can you go about it a different way? So thanks for asking me.
Yeah, no, that's great. That actually helps me with something I'm thinking about lately. So glad I asked.
Excuse my last question, but I do want to ask another question.
Okay.
If you're comfortable sharing a time that's maybe the hardest time in your life, or any time that's harder, that you were dealing with anything, I don't know, if it was an anxiety or depression or an addiction or just high levels of stress, if you could talk about that time, what caused it, and then also what you did to pull out of it.
Yeah. For me, it was my like church mission, which I think is like the same for a lot of people. I'm still young enough that was like, that was 6 years ago. So I just got to a place where I was like, I just really didn't want to do anything anymore. And there's so many things that you can read about and like learn about, or people that you could go see and all this stuff. But what ultimately got me out of it, and it was like the lowest low that I've ever been, coming home early and all that for my mission, and just being like, I have no friends. Everybody's on their missions. What do I do? But what got me out of it was just like, okay, I'm just like, I sat around for a couple weeks and was just like, I don't know what I'm going to do. And then I ultimately just made up my mind. Like, I'm just going to write 3 things I'm grateful for every day. Right. And I did that for like a month or two. And then I was like, hey, now I'm going to do 1 social thing every week. And I added that onto it. And then after that, I was like, okay. And then I'm going to, what was the third thing? Oh, exercise every day was the third thing I did, like after another month. So I just like stacked it on slowly, where it was just like, okay, I don't need crazy therapy. I don't need like crazy drugs. I just needed like a little bit each day, and to just believe in myself a little bit each day. And it was just crazy that like the gratitude journal like woke me up, just taking 2 seconds every morning to write 3 things down, and then let it so that I could have another healthy habit and then another healthy one. And that's how I've lived my life ever since. It's just like, don't do it all at once, because you're going to overwhelm yourself and you won't be happy. Choose something so teensy that feels so doable, and just like allow it to change who you are. So
that's awesome.
Hopefully that answers your question. I think it does.
It answered it. I mean, and you gave 3 actual things, which I think are exactly what you just said, very easy. You can do them every day. Gratitude, 3 things that you're grateful for, the gym, and a social activity. I guess I went out of order, but those are...
No, that's okay.
So back to kind of that, the philosophy side, which I know I've talked with your husband, Rick, about this.
Yeah, he loves it.
He came just out of the bone to pick with you. And I was like, what? And he's like, you don't believe in free will?
Yes, I was there. Yes. That was a whole thing on like 4th of July or something.
No, I don't. So imagine you coming home from your mission. And if you didn't believe in free will, we're not going to get into it. But if you believe that, let's go from a religious standpoint, that was God's plan for you. He's an omnipotent God. He knows everything. He knew you're going to go home early. Could you have not gone home early? And the answer is no, right? Like, you went home early because you went home early, whether that's because of biology, whether that's physics, whether that's cause and effect, or whether that's religiously. Like, you can, if you accept that philosophy, you can look back and get rid of guilt and shame and embarrassment with the, and be 100% assured that like you had to do that. Like, what happened is the only thing that could have ever happened. And that's where I think it's made a bigger difference in my life, and I think that could make a bigger difference in other people's lives rather than higher amounts of financial success. But looking at mistakes, or not even mistakes, but also wins, and saying like, that happened because it happened. Like, I'm not prideful about it. It would have happened to anybody else given my genetics and my upbringing, whether it's good or bad. So it kind of strips you of pride, and it also strips you of any embarrassment, shame, guilt. Anyways, I kind of a side tangent on there, but that's a way to kind of look at it and be able to shed all that and just be like, I'm moving forward. Whatever happened, happened. That was the only thing that could have happened. And that's it. There's nothing else to it. It doesn't say anything about me. It's just an experience that happened. So it's been very freeing for me. So
anyway, that's awesome.
Cambria, I appreciate you jumping on the podcast and sharing everything.
Thanks for having me.
It was great. Where can listeners connect with you?
Instagram and Facebook. I think Instagram is like Cambria S. Smith. I think it'll be linked below or something.
Yes.
And then it's Insurance by Cambria for Safe. So all the good stuff.
Well, Cambria, I appreciate it. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, thanks so much, Bennett.